So our scripture this morning is from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The church with the open doors. I want to tell you a story. It's a true story. About a minister who was assigned to a church. This was down in the state somewhere. He hadn't met the congregation. In some denominations, you're just put somewhere, and that's the minister you get. So this is what's happened here. And so he was assigned to this church. He was told that they were a very vibrant and welcoming community, but he hadn't met them yet. And he was to lead worship that Sunday. And so he wanted to learn quickly what the hearts of the people were like, and so he conducted a little experiment. Sunday morning, he made himself look unkempt, and he dressed in ragged clothes. He wrote on a tattered piece of cardboard, "Help, please." And he sat on the steps that led up to the open doors of the church that Sunday morning. And he observed the people. Most of the people that went into the church simply ignored him. They walked right past him, didn't give him a glance, and entered into the church. A few tried to scurry him off, saying, "This is no place to be loitering on a Sunday morning. Shoo, go away." A few offered him help. They directed him to the soup kitchen that was down the street, where he could get himself a nice warm meal, and some of them gave him a few coins to help him out. But no one invited him in. When the time for the service to begin was near, the congregation was getting restless because they hadn't seen their minister yet, and they were told he would be ready to go on Sunday morning. And they sat kind of stirring and restless. Then they noticed to their horror this homeless man was coming into the building, and as he walked down the aisle toward the front of the church, he could hear their murmurs of discontent. "He better not sit near me. Oh my goodness, I can't believe he's come into the church. Shouldn't the ushers escort him out?" All these things whispered as he walked by. He went up to the front pew, and he took off his tattered coat to reveal beneath it a tidy shirt. He grabbed a comb from his pocket and ran it through his hair. The people were watching, quite bewildered. And then he stepped up to the pulpit and introduced himself. You could have heard a pin drop. Our actions reveal our hearts. Which kind of person would you have been? And be honest with yourself. Would you have ignored him? You might have even justified your ignoring him to say to yourself, "Well, if he's still there when I come out, I'll buy him a coffee." Would you have been one of the ones to have shooed him away? This is not a place for vagrants to be hanging out, especially on a Sunday morning. Would you have offered him help? Would you have invited him in? We can say that we are a church with open doors, but the heart of the congregation is revealed by its actions. When asked about themselves, the greatest majority of churches claim they are welcoming, that their doors are open to everyone. And yet, The research shows that the number one reason people don't come back to a church they visited for the first time is because they didn't feel welcome. Interesting that the two are opposites. For about 10 months, Mike and I were churchless when I had finished my position as youth pastor and before I started my position at Thorndale. And so we had the opportunity on Sunday morning to visit many different churches. And overall, they weren't particularly friendly to strangers. Occasionally someone would speak to us, but they were in the big churches. And usually the conversation started with, "Oh, do you normally attend at the 11 o'clock service?" Because they didn't recognize us. But at least they started, right? At least there was a conversation. But most of the churches didn't really speak to us. And even the ones that had coffee time afterward and we would stay never spoke to us. It was very odd. Now, one of the churches, when we were leaving at the back door and the minister was there, you know, greeting everyone as they do, Mike had said something about my having been a youth pastor. Now, that minister was ready to hand over the whole reins of the whole Sunday school program to me in that moment before he even knew my last name. It's interesting that they all think they're welcoming. And so it bears for us to think, well, I would say we're welcoming, but I do have a tainted perspective because you knew who I was when I got here, at least somewhat, and you really wanted me to stay, so you were going to be kind. So my perspective is different than what somebody else might have who just shows up here. It does us good to be honest in assessing how welcoming we truly are. How would we respond to someone we didn't know just showing up? The way that we answer that question truly indicates whether we're a church with an open door or have we become an exclusive club. Now, the first step in being a church with an open door is to be intentionally welcoming. When someone comes to our church, it needs to be a positive experience for them. They need to be seen and feel a little known by the time that they leave. We should be prepared for that newcomer and have a plan to greet them. And of course, we don't all want to do it because a mob is intimidating, not welcoming. But our greeters at the back, and I mean, you guys, in my opinion, are really good at this, but sometimes we just still need to think about it to be sure that we are, in fact, good at this. But if somebody new came in and we have a greeter at the back, introducing yourself with your name, "Hi, I'm Pam, glad that you're here today," giving them a bulletin and maybe coming, quickly going through, well, anything that's in bold, you know, that's our part, so just follow along and it'll all make sense. And telling them where the washrooms are downstairs, and those sorts of little things. Even asking them, well, where do you like to sit? Are you a back bench, a front bench? Where do you, and guiding them to a place where they can feel confident that no one's gonna come and ask them to get out of their spot, which I don't think would happen in this church. And introducing them maybe to the people who are nearby, wherever it is that you have sat them. And the main thing is to remember their name, at least the first name. After the service, it's important also to have a little chat with them. You've got maybe a little more time then at the end of the service. You can ask them a few more questions, you know, maybe whereabouts do they live or where do they work or those sort of things. Get to know them a little bit. Remind them of your name. Don't assume that they will have remembered it. Just take a break, just tell them again, "Hi, I'm Pam," and they don't even have to worry about whether or not they had remembered. And also then at the end, thank them for being here and say, "We hope to see you again." There's a sense of welcome in that invitation, that they would be welcome again. Here, you could talk about the newsletter as being a source of great information for the community if they're not already connected into it. You could invite them to Coffee Topic if they're the right gender. You could invite them. I know the girls could show up too, but would we want to is the question. You could mention Wisdom Wednesday. There's lots of things that this church offers into the community that you could help them connect in with. That's really being welcoming with intention. And some of you would probably just instinctively do those things. But it's good to be aware of the person coming through and just being that friendly and sincere face. Now, if you're like me, you'll want to write down some of the things they said, because by the next week, you'll have a hard time remembering it. And you can also share that information with your minister, who doesn't get the same opportunity sometimes of chatting with the people, depending on the Sunday. Now, we know that it is incredibly random for someone just to show up who doesn't have a connection somehow with somebody here. It happens, but not all that often, particularly maybe in a church in the country, as wonderful as it is, nobody knows it's here. So for them to happen to wander by or happen to wander in might be a little bit less likely. But we're prepared if it happens. But the second important step to being a church with an open door is to actually invite people to come in. Statistics show that the percentage of people who attend church that have been invited is substantially greater than the number who just come in cold. And 82%, I'm surprised by this, 82% of people invited to church are likely to attend at least once. 82% of the people would say yes if we invited them. So why don't we invite people? Well, I compiled a little list of reasons why. And some of these reasons I've used myself in the past. I suffer, so why should they? Meaning you don't enjoy church yourself, but you come because either there's this obligation with the family, or you have some leadership roles and so there's this responsibility, or you really just come for other reasons, not for church. And my word, if I didn't have to be here, I wouldn't. Obviously, you're not going to invite someone into that situation. But if that is your situation, maybe we should explore that and figure out why and help you find some joy in worshiping Christ. It'll be boring. I don't want them to be bored. We have a high tolerance. We've learned, we've been here long. My answer to that is trust God. Most people in a new experience do not find it boring because they're learning things. They're experimenting in something they haven't been before. So they're curious. And so they usually aren't bored. I don't want to feel rejected if they say no. Well, that's why I suggest keep your invitation casual and don't take the answer personal, because you're not in charge of the answer. Our role is simply to ask. Their answer is up to them. And we don't know how many other people might have already asked them, or how many people in the future will ask them. And maybe it might take 2 or 3 different invites before they get curious enough to say yes. So you might just be one of those voices God's using to prepare someone's heart for a yes. So don't worry about the answer. We have something wonderful and valuable to share with them. So we'll invite, and we'll let the Holy Spirit do the rest. It's the minister's job to build the church. Well, if I invited all of my friends, we still wouldn't build it very big. Most of them are already in a church. And certainly I do have a role. connecting with people after, you know, they've come and the follow-up kinds of things. But what determines whether they stay or come back isn't me, it's you. And if all of you in your circles of friends invited people, that's way more than one person could ever do, or any one of you, if only one of you was inviting people, you can't reach as many as all of us doing it. So to grow the church is really all of our responsibility, and we should want to grow it, not for the membership numbers, not to have more bums and pews, but because we have something precious in Jesus that we want others to know about too. Because Jesus makes life easier and better. I asked them before, a few years ago, and they said no. Well, you could always ask again. They might say no again, but they might not. But listen also to their no, because sometimes the no is more like, well, I can't this week, but maybe another time. So be sure to follow up with another invitation for another time. Some people need a few weeks to kind of get used to the idea, especially if they had never even really thought about coming to church. And it's just a friendly, hey, if you want to come this week, I'd love to pick you up and bring you or meet you there or whatever the arrangement might be. Don't worry about the no's. We don't want to hound them. We don't want to make it feel like we're manipulating them or convincing them to come and do something horrible. But let them know if they want to come. You'd be delighted to be here with them. Now, some people are afraid that it might damage their friendship if they come and experience church and then they're like, oh, you're one of them? But I would kind of wonder, why don't they already know that? And so maybe it's a look inside. What are you afraid of them finding out? And don't worry about what your friend might experience. Again, trust the Holy Spirit. Trust your church that they'll have a healthy experience. And you know what? It might actually enhance your friendship, especially if they come to know the love of the Lord. That they would remember, you invited them to this place where they learned that they were loved by their Creator, and it's changed their life. That's worth the risk. Or maybe we're a little afraid that our friends won't fit in, as maybe they're just kind of odd, but we love them anyways. But maybe they're exactly the personality this place needs. Maybe they will bring something to this congregation that we didn't even know we needed until they got here. And it just brings more life and more joy into our service, into our community. Or what if the thing is, you know what, the church is really so full, I don't know that we could find them a spot. Okay. I just threw that in there. I know. The most common reason we don't ask is because we just simply don't know what to say. So here's an easy little trick. You've certainly invited someone to coffee before. Hey, would you like to go for coffee? Just change coffee to church. Hey, would you like to go to church? That simple. Don't overthink it. Don't make it a big deal. And don't worry if they say no. Then there's this last one. What if my invitation starts a conversation about faith, and I'm not really prepared to have a big conversation around faith? To which I say you should be. Be prepared with that elevator version, right? That 1 minute, 2 minute, the time it takes to travel in an elevator answer. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. We should be able to say, in a sentence or two, the general gist of why we believe what we believe and how it's changed our lives. And we do this with gentleness and respect. We're not trying to manipulate anyone or persuade anyone. So don't be afraid if they say, well, tell me a little more about this church thing you do. Before I say yes, I want to know a little more of what I'm getting into. It's okay. And you don't have to have all the answers. If they ask you really hard things like, well, explain the Trinity to me, you can be like, yeah, that's a tough one. That's like Christianity 201. I'm just not ready. I can't really give you a good explanation. But maybe my pastor could. You should come to church. Okay? Keep it light. Keep it fun. The main thing is that you invite, because that's how people come to church. Now, if 80% of the people asked said yes, and every one of us asked one person, 80% of them would say yes. So if 15 people asked, that's 12 yeses. If 30 people asked, that's 24 yeses. Now, they might not all stay. They might not all come back. Some of them might be like, nah, not my cup of tea. Some of them might be like, whatever. But some of them might stay. And again, the reason we want them to stay is so that they learn about the love of Christ. That they learn that their Creator loves them. And that we have this gift of the Holy Spirit to help us through this life. We have something absolutely wonderful that we should want to share with the people that we know and care about. A good place to start is to invite back the people who used to come. And for whatever reason, they stopped coming. Now, I get it. Sometimes it's a physical thing and they physically cannot come even though they wish they could. But there's a bunch that could come that got out of the habit for whatever reason. That's a good place to start. See, being a church with an open door isn't hard. And I don't think it's going to be hard for us, because you already are warm and lovely and wonderful people, so anyone who knows you would already be aware of that. The early church lived Jesus. They were devoted to the teachings of the apostles, which were the teachings of Christ. They were kind and they were generous. So too are you. And God added to their numbers. God does the adding. We just have to invite and let God do the work. Because I believe God would do the same thing for us. May the love which overcomes all differences, which heals all wounds, which puts to flight all fears, which reconciles all who are separated, be in us and among us now and always.